So no matter what it is, we'll be the champions. Oklahoma, we've been it.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Drill Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Curtin-Biddle and Brian Clark.
Hello,
Sooner Nation.
OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are, this is a busy time of year, trying to keep up with everything. You've got both basketball programs in the big dance. You've got football spring practice. Baseball starts SEC play this weekend. Softball is in the thick of SEC play. People who are trying to get their head on straight. This is podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill, and I am joined as always. I'm Jesse Crittenden also, and I am joined as always by Brian Clinton. And Brian, I don't think I have told you even off air of all of the hats that you've worn. This is my favorite hat.
You haven't? No, I appreciate it.
This is my favorite hat.
Yeah, it is. I like this hat. This is a good hat.
It is a good hat. It's a good hat.
Not just because I like the team, but it's a good hat.
God, ESPN Bet has the Thunder now as the favorite to win the title. And if there has ever been rat poison.
Oh, yeah.
It's that.
Yep.
That
yeah.
Is.
I would like for like the narrative to continue what it has been up until like before the, like if we could go back to the Boston win, like before that, mm-hmm. like how everybody's like, this is a regular season team. Like there's not any juice this team. Yeah, yes. Like that would have been. Can we go back to that narrative? I don't like the hunted narrative. That's not as fun.
Yeah, it's hard to keep that up, especially after a three game stretch that they just had to beat Boston, to beat Detroit, to beat Milwaukee, all on the road without J-Dub.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? We still haven't done it yet. We still haven't done it.
That's right.
And I'm going to keep that mentality. And I, like you said, I would love if people would continue to doubt this team.
Yep.
We're coming. It's still rat poison, though.
Yep.
Brian, with Brody and I talked about basketball on an In the Paint that I think dropped today. We're recording this on Wednesday evening. Parker and I did OU Insider Live on Monday. OU is on spring break, or football is on spring break right now. So let's take 30 minutes to talk about softball, because we did a takeaways video from the weekend from OU's sweep of Arkansas. But this feels like a good opportunity to talk really about what we've learned so far about this program. Mm. Now, they do play East Texas A&M tonight, presumably, even though the wind is crazy. Then they go to Missouri this weekend in a series that I would be surprised if it's that interesting. We'll talk about it in a little bit. So I feel like this is, we've touched on some of the things that we're going to talk about, but this feels like a good opportunity to really, OU's about at the halfway point.
Yep.
26-0. This feels like a good opportunity to talk about what we've learned and maybe a question or two that we've got about this team. So Brian, I'm gonna cede the floor to you. One thing that you've learned about this team through 26 games, either that you expected and it's been confirmed, or you weren't expecting and has since become a part of the way you look at this team. I'll let you go first. You tell me one thing.
That the offense is still elite, regardless of the names that they lost. Cannot undersell, like, the names that Oklahoma lost from this roster lineup, just 1 through 9, like, it was absolutely incredible. You don't have to go through all the names. They were all Americans littered across this lineup for 4 years. And all they've done is continue to hit home runs at just an incredible pace. Their batting average isn't maybe as high as it has been as a team in recent years, but they're still manufacturing runs in all kinds of ways, and a lot of it is just by power. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be sustainable, and they have found a way. They've just continued to find a way, and I think that that DNA has just continued. It's really just picked right back up, and I'm incredibly impressed with that.
I'm really glad you said the offense as a whole, because it sounds broad, but I mean, really, I thought this was going to be a team that had to rely a little bit more on defense than it has. And I mean, you mentioned like the batting average is not like elite, but first in the country in runs. And let's actually, before I rattle off all of the stats, let's just think for a moment. We're two conference weekends in with, like you just said, everybody they lost, and they lead the country in scoring.
Right.
And the two players who have done it, who have led that charge the last two weekends, are freshmen.
Right.
It's insanity.
On top of that, I remember us talking about this in the first couple of episodes of the season when we thought, and it seemed to that point that it was going to have to be Ella Parker, like was going to have to lead the way, you know, pretty much by head and shoulders above the rest, because she was just playing at that level, and she's still playing at a high level, but it's really been the other names.
No, it has. And you mean like the batting average isn't super elite, but they've gotten past it because home runs, third in the country, again, insanity. They're second in on-base percentage. They are second in total walks. So even when the consistent hits haven't always been there from some of the usual suspects, they still find a way to get on base and they still score. And that's for a team this young. And yeah, you've got Ella Parker in conference play batting .077. They're going to face tougher competition. That's the thing. Look, Arkansas have a really good pitcher in Heron. Rest of the staff, shaky. South Carolina, solid pitching. It's not the best that Oklahoma's going to see. But I think I've already seen, and I wrote this in a mailbag earlier on OUinsider.com, because somebody asked me, if OU doesn't win the title, why will that be? And I said, it won't be because of the offense. Right. I've seen enough. Offense is going to score. I've got other questions outside of that. Here's the thing I've learned. Here's the first thing I'll mention is that even when this team feels like they're rebuilding, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. And look no further than, I mean, it's Nelly McEnroe Marinas and Gabby Garcia, who have been spectacular. I mean, 4.55 batting average for Garcia the first two conference weekends. Nelly McEnroe Marinas, .522. They've combined for 8 home runs. They both lead the team in hits with 22 combined. So, but it's not just the two of them, man. It's the fact that we know Sydney Barker can play.
Yep.
We know TM Oloy can play. We know Audrey Lowry can play. And we haven't even seen a lot of these freshmen, man. And it's not because they're not good enough. I'm telling you that now. It's not because they're not good enough. There's not enough places for them. There's not enough spots for them.
Yep.
I mean, we've still got a lot of season to go, and I'm far from guaranteeing that this program's going to win it all. But if they win it all this year, the fact that they're only graduating Sydney Sanders, Sam Landry, that hurts, and Isabella Smith, they should be bringing everybody back, is nuts.
Wild. Yeah.
It's nuts. But when you think they're rebuilding, they're not.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've learned about this team and this program. This freshman class, you can't say enough about this freshman class, man.
Yeah.
You really can't.
Literally stepped right in, and like it's hard. It's so hard to try and compare it to anything else, because really, I mean, how else would you compare what they had to replace? When in sports have you seen a group leave and a completely new set of faces comes in and continues to pick right back up where the legends left off. Like, it's just it's unprecedented. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
It is.
Next thing I've learned.
Tell me.
You don't have to have experience as a pitcher. You don't have to have experience at this level to be elite.
Ooh, I like that. Expand on
Because
that. I like that.
Oklahoma's two best pitchers to this point, at least for this season, have been Sam Landry and Audrey Lowry. And neither one of them were. Neither one of them were experienced playing at an SEC level last year, or playing even at a national contender level last year, or at any point in their career. I mean, Lowry's a freshman, and they've been the two best arms Oklahoma has. Kirsten Deal is still, as I said last podcast, there's ups and downs. She's going to have some fantastic innings for Oklahoma this year. But there's been some struggles there too. The two best arms thus far, and I think it's a pretty wide margin, have been Landry and Lowry, and that's been a pleasant surprise.
No, it has, and I think there's one thing, and I wish I could attribute who said it the other day. I can't remember. But somebody said it's almost, and Audrey Lauer is a true freshman, but especially in Sam Landry's case, it's almost not pointless, but it's almost a useless exercise to post the career stats for any transfers coming into the program because they haven't worked with Jen Rocha.
Correct.
And one of the things, Sam Landry has been particularly vocal about it. Kelly Maxwell was particularly vocal about it last year. Is these pitchers that come in from other programs will talk about coming in and just being exposed to all kinds of film and
Yeah.
all kinds of technique that they just didn't experience at their other programs. And the way Jen Rocha breaks things down. And also, I think, and this is going to tie into what I've learned is. And I'll just say it now. I think even if the makeup of a team, of an OU softball team is different, the characteristics are always the same. And
Fair.
the reason why that is they have honed in on such a way of doing things that is also player empowering. You'll hear the hitters talk about it with JT, and you'll hear the pitchers talk about it with Jen Rocha. It's not only just the film and just the amount of detail, but they'll talk about, again, God, my memory's so bad. Somebody during, before the Arkansas at midweek availability last week was talking about how, I think it was Gabby Garcia was talking about how JT doesn't come in and try to change you as a hitter. He figures out what you do well and then helps that to fit into what he wants to do, but he's not trying to change you as a, and that's why, again, like I don't think either one of us thought home runs were going to be the thing for this team, and
You're right.
they are. And I don't
Yeah.
think now, like, there are some stylistic things here and there. This team is stealing more bases than, you know, a few more bases than they did last year. You see a few different players they're telling to be aggressive, Abby Dayton, Alana Abagnani, but the DNA, I mean, and it's the, and it all comes together to somehow have the DNA be the exact same from team to team.
Yeah.
There just aren't very many teams. There aren't very many programs that can time and time again get timely hits, clutch hits, and make plays when you need to make them. And if there are any other program, they're probably 3-3 in conference play right now. They could have lost a couple of those Arkansas games, and they could have lost
Absolutely.
a couple of those South Carolina games.
Yep.
So it's just, they have really built a system here.
It's the true meaning, it's the true definition of a dynasty. Like it is the only thing I can liken it to is when Alabama was truly in its heyday, because my brain immediately goes to football. When Alabama was in its heyday under Nick Saban, regardless of who the personnel was on the teams, and they had incredible athletes, as Oklahoma does on the softball field. But year in, year out, they were winning games the same way. They continued to preach, we're going to do things our way. We're not concerned with what other people are doing or how they're preparing. We are going to meet the standard that we have set. And that's what Oklahoma does week in and week out. And you just nailed it. I mean, this team, going back to when Patty Gasso took over the program, it has always, always, always been built on defense. They've always been so good defensively. It's always been just very strong defensive play. JT Gasso has done an excellent job as a hitting coach, and we've seen so much power over the years. But then you just nailed it with Jen Rocha. Like, the way that she is able to pull every ounce out of players, regardless of what they come in with experience wise, it's the same plug and play. And when you have athletes that Oklahoma is able to get, you really, it's amazing to sit and watch the coaching staff do what they do with different players year in and year out. And the consistency is just amazing. So yeah, hats off. Obviously it's gotta be hats off to the coaching staff for this. It's been incredible. You're muted.
There it is.
We're undefeated.
Everybody drink. Everybody drink. It's almost plug and play.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's almost plug and play. And I just thought, I mean, I knew that to some extent, because even if you look at that team that won it in 19, and then you go to last year's team and just how different the personnel was from that 14 mm-hmm. team to the 19 team, a lot of those characteristics were still, it was power hitting, it's elite defense. But I just thought, when you lose that many players, I just figured, and Patty kept on talking about it before the season about how it was going to have to be small ball and aggressive base running and all these different tactics and stuff. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, there's not... some of that's there, but not.
Yeah.
You're still blasting the hell out of balls, man.
Yep. It has.
And one of the, like, Sam Landry, it sounds so simple, but one of the things I love, she was really talking about that process, and she was like, I've never just thrown so many strikes. I'm just hitting the zone. And I think one of the things also is, as detailed and specific as they are, she's talked about how Jen Rocha has just told her, just throw in the zone, just throw strikes, put the ball in play, trust the defense behind you.
And there you go. And that right there, that's the DNA of the team. There it goes right back to it. Trust your defense, because it's elite. It's always been elite under Coach Gasso. So,
give me, do you have another, what have you learned? You got another
something
one?
I've learned, and this would be kind of on the flip side of the coin. Something I've learned, you know, we've talked at length about, you know, probably the one thing with this team that would be worrisome, if you were going to point anything out, would be some of the pitching staff depth. But looking here at a stat sheet, I'm actually kind of surprised. Oklahoma's left 150 on base this year. Opponents have left 109 on base. You know, so just comparing that, that's a lot of runs out there. I'm sure that's something that the team wants to work on. You know, I think when competition does step up, when things get more difficult, when you're playing a Florida or a Texas or you know, whoever it is, Tennessee, you're not going to be able to get away with leaving players on base like that. So I think the consistency to be able to move the bat, hand the bat off, and continue working players around bases, like, that's going to be something that this team is going to have to work at if they're going to reach their ceiling, which I lowballed them this year. I did. I said coming into the season, I felt that this team's ceiling was making the Women's College World Series. Didn't think they were quite ready to win it. If they can figure out a couple of small things, this team absolutely can win another national championship. And I think one of those is going to be fixing the runners left on base.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a couple of things I want to get on there, I think the last thing I was going to say about what I've learned is that this team can win the title. It just can. So just to echo what you just said, the runners being stranded thing is an interesting discussion, because if you remember last year, that was kind of an issue too.
Mm-hmm.
Through a lot of the regular season. I don't remember the numbers, but Patty talked about it. Like, it was it was enough to where she mentioned it more than once across different weekends that we're leaving too many runners on base. And
it bit them against Texas. I remember that. I remember that conversation vividly.
Yes, it did. And that's the thing. I think it's kind of crazy that they're 26-0. Not only just because this team is so young and so new, but part of it is it hasn't been perfect. If you've watched the last two weekends, it has not been perfect. And there's a lot of ways that this team isn't 6-0 in conference play, which leads me to, and I'm sure you've got it too, but I really want to talk about it. One of the things that this team has got to answer if they're going to win the title is what the pitching depth looks like behind St. Landry.
Yeah.
Because as great as she was, and as against Arkansas, and as impressive as it is that OU is 6-0, this team isn't going to win the title with the way that Bella Smith and Kirsten Deal specifically have pitched through two conference weekends. Now, and when you talk about Audrey Lowry a little bit, but Bella Smith, look, she was great in non-conference play. It took forever for her to finally allow an earned run, or just a run in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not shocked that it's been a struggle. I wasn't expecting a 10.08 ERA. I wasn't expecting a 389 batting average through two conference weekends. That is concerning. But I think the bigger concern is Kirsten.
Yes.
Who... inconsistency has always been kind of the thing, and we talked about it in the quick slants, but I thought this team might need her to be the ace. I thought that was a possibility coming into the year.
Yep.
And at the very least, I thought she's got to be the number two that you're throwing out as, oh, that's our game two starter, or that's our game three starter every weekend. She might end up having to be that by necessity, but a 5.83 ERA with a 288 batting average is just not going to soak up a ton of runs or a ton of innings. It's just not. And there is still a lot of time left in this season, but, and as good offensively as Arkansas, South Carolina is, if they play like they have the last couple of weekends, it's an issue. When they get farther on of the season, it just is.
Yeah. Yeah. They, those two combined for 68% of the walks that Oklahoma's allowed this year. They've got 25 of 37. That has been really the big thing. Honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that Landry and Lowry have combined for 8 walks, I think this team would probably have at least one, maybe two losses on the year, just because there have been so many instances where had you given a free pass, it would have been detrimental. So they have to clean up the walks. That's going to be something against an elite offense that can make you pay eventually. It's just an eventuality whenever you're facing teams like you will down the stretch. So, Kirsten Deal, I don't know if we mentioned this on air or if this is something we talked about off air, but coming into this season, that was really my expectation, is she might be the best they have. And if she's not, if it's one of those transfers, then she was pretty strong in consideration for number two. And so, I don't know if she's just dealing with confidence. I don't know what it is, but that is somebody that if this team is going to reach its potential, she's going to have to straighten some things out.
Which along those lines brings me to kind of two sides of the same coin. I think if Bella Smith and Kirsten Deal don't grow, if they don't improve, you're basically looking at two things the rest of the way. It's, can Audrey Lowry be your number two, which is a lot to ask of a true freshman. She was fantastic in that game three against South Carolina, but you need a lot bigger sample size than that.
Right.
You need just a lot bigger, not to mention she needs the experience, and which also makes this muscle strain she's dealing with an even bigger concern.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, this pitching staff is in a situation and we're not talking about Peyton Monticelli, which I'll throw in as a, she was good against Arkansas. She only threw a little bit. She was good. I actually think Peyton's not going to be a starter more than likely. Right. But I do think it's possible she can be somebody that you throw in for an inning or two here or there.
Right.
And can be productive.
Yeah.
But if the goal is to look for a number two, it might be Audrey Lowry, and OU needs to approach these next few weeks as if they're trying to answer that question.
Yes.
If not, you're kind of in a situation where you've got Sam Landry, and then every weekend is going to be about coming up with pitch like strategies and throwing a bunch of different arms. And look, it's impressive that OU is 6-0 given what's happened so far. And if anybody can make that work, it's Jen Rocha. And we saw that a little bit in that Texas game two last year in the champ series. I think OU threw five different pitchers before closing.
Yeah.
But with closing with Kelly Maxwell, it's telling that Sam, and Audrey Lowry didn't play. It's telling last weekend that Sam Landry had to throw all three games. And I don't know how sustainable that is if that ends up being how this team has to handle things. Maybe it's overreacting.
No, I don't think it is. I want to approach it from the aside that is Audrey Lowry capable of being the number two? Absolutely. I think she is. But I also want to approach Oklahoma fans from this perspective. It's so difficult to talk about how much to glean from those sorts of from her early season success as a freshman, because you're so used to seeing you had Jordy Ball just a couple of years ago come in as a freshman and just be like, when she hangs the cleats up and she's done, she's one of the better athletes to play the sport at the collegiate level. Like, she's incredible. There just aren't very many players like that. And I'm not taking anything away from Lowry, but it's really difficult to have that be the level that you have to live up to as a freshman pitcher at Oklahoma, because that's the reality. That's what it is. And she doesn't need to be that. She needs to be herself and what she's been to this point. If she can continue at the rate that she has played to this point, that's plenty good enough for her to be number two and for her to be. But there are harder teams. There is stiffer competition coming up, and so it's an interesting discussion to have, because that is such a high standard to hold freshmen to. And I think a lot of people are doing that. I would just say she doesn't have to be an All-American. She just has to continue being what she's been, which is still great. She's been fantastic.
I'm glad you said that, because that's the thing. I think in the whole discussion about what a number two pitcher looks like, it gets slanted when you look at it from an Oklahoma perspective, right? Because of the quality of talent this team has had, especially at pitcher. What we mean when you say you need to be looking for a number two is it's not somebody that has a 1.2 ERA in conference play. It's not that. And that shouldn't be the expectation for Audrey Lowry. The expectation should be you go into a weekend like last weekend where Patty was talking to me and Ryan Aber from the Oklahoman after the game. And she said, like, we were trying to get through and hopefully not have to put Landry in before the fifth inning. And then Kirsten Dill gave up two bombs, including one in that fifth inning, her second to Bri Ellis.
Yeah.
And they pulled her, put in Sam Landry. I think you're just looking for somebody that can give you some consistency that you feel like, okay, we're going to get 5 innings out of Audrey Lowry today.
Yep.
And we're not going to have to throw in Sam Landry for a third game, because it wasn't just Kirsten Bella was really bad in that first inning, so they pulled her. Then they threw Peyton for an inning. I honestly thought they should have played her longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they threw in Kirsten, and then they brought in Landry. I think you're just looking for someone that can stabilize things enough that the offense doesn't have to outscore the other team, and that you don't feel like you have to go into a game thinking, oh, can we just get through 5 innings? Right.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's really what the discussion is. And yes. Kirsten Deal had a 2.68 ERA in conference play last year, which is solid. But it also, if you remember, she really struggled at the start of conference play. It got better as conference play went on. That could still happen. It's not about writing off Kirsten Deal or Bella Smith. But I mean, if they pitch like they have the last couple weekends, OU's gonna, I mean, well, I'm not gonna say they're gonna lose some series. I'm not gonna say that, but Tennessee's gonna be tough, Bama's gonna be tough,
Texas
is gonna be tough, Florida's gonna be tough. And then you get to the postseason. You can't have postseasons where Landry's throwing all three games in a, or all every game in a weekend.
Right. On top of having all of that work through the regular season already. I mean, because that wears, it wears on.
It does.
So.
No, it does. And I think that might be the bigger concern is that, as I mean, Landry missed the Arkansas series, which could be helpful in maintaining. She's at 48 innings right now, which is not a lot, but I mean, she threw 11 innings this last weekend. I think that's certainly more than they would want to throw her in a weekend. You don't want to hit double digits if you can avoid it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Anything else? I mean, we've got the Missouri series this coming weekend. Like I said, we're about at the halfway point. Another question, another thing you're watching this weekend beyond this Missouri team. I think they're 17-13. They got swept by Kentucky. They're like 70th in scoring, 94th in ERA. What are you looking for this weekend or beyond?
I would say looking for some of the role players or some of the key players to get back into a role. Like this would be a perfect time for Ella Parker to get back in a groove. And, you know, as funny as it is, and you're probably going to laugh, I want to see what this offense looks like when everybody is clicking.
Yeah,
because we haven't seen that yet. If Ella Parker is hitting at the rate she was early in the season, or what she looked like to close out last year, on top of what we've seen from everybody else, and Cassidy Pickering hits her stride again, and like we see those things. If she continues on what she started doing again last weekend, I mean, the offense could be even better than it's already been, which is just wild to say. But yeah, I'm just looking for Oklahoma to kind of get in the groove. And then, do we see somebody outside of Landry and Lowry put together some good innings? Because I think that's really what it's going to take is getting some of that confidence back. And it's a good opportunity to do that this weekend.
I agree. I'm also looking at, like you mentioned, Ella Parker. And even Cassidy Pickering, who was better this last weekend, but, she's batting .333 in conference play. I think you would expect both of them. We've seen it, right?
Yep.
I think in addition to them, I'm curious about even like the middle to the back of OU's lineup, because Abigail Dayton has gotten help by some walks, but she's batting .235. Her numbers at Utah last year were awesome. There's got to be a law of averages come up at some point. Alana Agbayani batting .294, Hannah Kaur batting .167, even Sydney Sanders batting .133. Now she's the walk queen, and she was last year too. But that's the thing, like into what you're saying about the offense all clicking at once. I think it's not just Parker and Pickering. It's also can a few of these others, find a rhythm too. The walks have continued to be there for almost everybody, but I think you'd like to see some of those players really put together some base hits too on top of everything. Brian, I think that's going to do it for us here for this midseason review for OU softball. We'll be back next week to talk about football, to talk about more softball here on the Oklahoma Drill. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Make sure to like and subscribe here at this OU Insider YouTube channel. If you've not already done so, head over to OUinsider.com, become a VIP member today. If you haven't already done so, it's never a better time because it's always a good time. So head over there. You'll get all kinds of content that you won't find here. But if nothing else, make sure to like and subscribe here. It won't cost you anything. You'll be up to date on all of the content that we post here. We post pretty much every day. Make sure you don't want to miss any of that. Brian, appreciate you as always. Thank you to everybody else. We'll see you guys next week on the Oklahoma Drill. Take care.